Junkies Poll is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is just 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar and a convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Drab will get this up shortly at Junks Radio on Twitter. Should the Junks make smelling salts part of their daily show routine? That's going to be the question. And Mike Marr just posted the video recently at Junks Radio. You can go check that out on Twitter if you didn't catch it live. All right, time to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to our friend, Chris Doering, NFL vet, current college football analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Good morning, man. I hate that I caught that part of the open to the segment. Cause you, what are you guys, a bunch of bitches, man? You know, you guys don't use smelling salts?
No, like it was my first voyage with the smelling salts, Chris. I might be a little bit of a wimp, but I took two hits, and that was enough for me.
Hey, the sports bitches.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Sports bitches, yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, no, we got introduced to smelling salts back in Florida. It's more of a... It began as a weight room thing, right before you hit your PRs at the end of like winter conditioning.
Yeah,
you get a little smelling salt before you get under the bench. But I've taken that further. You know, I used it throughout my career. I've introduced it to my kids at a young age. I even used it before, you know, work, a big call at the mortgage office sometime. You got to hit that as well. So it's a big part of my life.
I didn't know you're so deep into
smelling
salts.
How do you get it? One of our guys says you can't even, you have to get it online.
I Amazon it. I get it Amazon right to the house.
Nice. You're still doing it.
Do you buy like boxes at a time? Like, are you buying in bulk?
No, nothing excessive. I'm not addicted, but I do get, I get a decent sized box. I take it to the office. I love introducing it to new people because you just tell, hey, take a whiff of this. And they don't really, there's no moderation in their sniffing. And it completely like fries the brain.
So you give some of the salts to your employees?
Yeah, for sure. It's like part of the hazing ritual. If you're going to be part of the group, you got to be able to.
That's funny.
It's indoctrination. Hazing's an ugly word. Indoctrination is better.
I asked our guy, Chris. Yeah. I asked our guy if it's like Zins, like they're different levels. Are some brands stronger than others?
I don't know. I haven't done that. That would be a good science fair project for anybody's kid out there that wants to get a good grade. But no, I don't. I've never.
They're all basically the same from what you can tell. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What you see a lot of guys doing is breaking a bunch of them up and putting them in a cup and just covering it up and then pulling a big whiff out of it like before a series or something. So I think they're all the same, but you can combine the strength of multiple salts to help get the kind of effectiveness you need.
Mm. Right, right.
Hey, how was your summer, bro? I mean, now that we're pretty close to the season, starts August 23rd, all right? So Iowa State and Kansas State are going to play in Dublin, noon kickoff on ESPN. That's the first game of the year. But did you do anything cool this summer?
Yeah, man, I literally just got back from Montana, man. Was out there. My buddy gets a house there every summer. Ooh. My first trip to Montana. Caught Dave Matthews two nights in a row as part of a festival there, a little Friday-Saturday deal, sitting out in the middle of this field between all the mountains, watching Dave and the music going by down, or the sun going down behind the mountains while you listen to the tunes. It was awesome.
Wow.
So I did that. I did the Bahamas a couple times as you and I kind of share that affinity for that place.
Yep.
But I'm Chicago a couple times. So I've had a nice summer, man.
Hey, what's it like getting away from the hustle and bustle? Like I just fantasize about being around no people and Montana and like Wyoming, like those places, they just call out to me. What was that like?
Montana was awesome. Like we stayed in this house that was right on the Gallatin River. So you walk out, you wake up in the morning. It's 45 degrees last week in the morning. You're having some coffee, got a fire going. It was ultimate relaxation. But for me, I never get a vacation. Like even that trip, we're crushing drinks and getting out of control at the concert. So it's not. I needed a vacation from the vacation.
Right,
so
I understand.
I never really just chill.
All right, so I believe currently Chris Doering is driving because he left Charlotte this morning. So he's on his way to Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
Because he's going down to see the Gamecocks practice. And the Gamecocks are going to open up the season on August 31st on Sunday against the Hokies. This is a big, kind of out-of-the-gate game. Sellers, Lenore Sellers is a stud. A lot of people think, you know, he can contend for the Heisman. We'll get your take on that. But kind of talk about what you're expecting, not just from South Carolina, but this game, because Virginia Tech, there couldn't be more pressure on Brent Pry, the head coach of Virginia Tech, than this year. And he's got to open up on the road against Frank Beamer's son. So talk about this matchup.
Doesn't it feel a little bit like an opening round NCAA basketball tournament game where, you know, the committee puts together games that have good storylines in them? And obviously this is a great storyline with the Beamer connection. But yeah, it means a lot. The opening two weekends in the SEC are massive for the league, you know, in terms of building a reputation, a resume for when the committee, you know, looks at the totality of teams that they're considering to get into the playoff at the end of the year. This is one of those to help that reputation. And certainly, you know, you look at Lenore Sellers, this guy, I think last year heading into the year was ranked 14th of the 16 quarterbacks in the SEC in one poll that I saw. Certainly not that case this year. A lot of people feel like he could win the Heisman, as you talked about. I worry about the pieces around him, receiver-wise. Mazio Bennett's probably the most consistent receiver they have. They need Nick Harper, the freak that is, 99 on the EA Sports game rankings and stuff. So they need some guys to step up there. The running game, losing Rocket Sanders, has been tough to replace the production from last year. They've got a kid that's seeking a seventh year of eligibility that the NCAA just allowed to practice but hasn't cleared yet. So that would be a big step for them. But defensively, that's where I worry the most. They lost a lot of really good players, including Kyle Kennard, who was opposite of Dylan Stewart. Dylan Stewart had an amazing freshman season, but Kyle Kennard, I think, reaped a lot of the benefit of the attention Dylan Stewart was getting. So they need some guys to step up on the defensive line. But I think this is a team that could vie to get to 9 wins again. And I think this year, teams in the SEC that get 9 wins are going to find themselves in, as opposed to last year where they were on the outside.
Hey, Chris, Ohio State versus Texas is obviously the headline grabber, number one versus number two, the first season opening number one v number two game in history. Like, it's great for fans, but if you're Sarkisian or Ryan Day, don't you behind closed doors think, you know what, maybe I'd rather open with like Bowling Green or North Texas and play this game in week two. What do you think those guys think about doing this week one right out of the gate?
Yeah, especially with breaking in new quarterbacks there, it's going to be interesting to see which of those guys is most ready to go, both highly recruited players. But I think anybody that thinks that Julian Sain or Arch Manning is just going to step in and take over and not have some growing pains is a bit naive. So I'm with you. But I also love what that does for the teams in the offseason, you know, and the winter conditioning and the spring practices and summer conditioning. You're pointing to this massive game. And it's hard for me to believe. I just heard that same stat yesterday that we've never had a one versus two to open the season. But that makes it even more delicious what we're getting ready to experience. I look at it from the perspective of my alma mater. The last couple of years, played against Utah, at Utah to open. Played last year against Miami to open the season. Florida was not ready to go in those games and ultimately got better last year as the season went on. But I do wonder if it would be better for the fans to get an opportunity to see these two teams when they've got some games under their belt and the quarterbacks are a little bit more experienced. But I don't know how you guys feel about scheduling. I think that the Power Four teams should schedule one team from each of the other Power Three conferences and sprinkle these in. Have one early, have one in the middle of the season, have one late, because I hate that we get these great matchups between conferences early in the season before the teams really have a chance to evolve into who they ultimately will become as the year goes on.
By the way, Chris, I looked at your Gators schedule, and you guys open with Long Island. Okay, you guys should beat them by 50. Then you host South Florida. Okay, that's no easy game. And then you guys go through a gauntlet in your next four games. I mean, is there a tougher stretch than at LSU, at Miami, home to Texas, at Texas A&M in the next 4 weeks?
They got a brutal schedule.
Oh my God, it's
brutal. Uh-huh. And that run, I think everybody in the SEC now, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, there's a 3 and in a lot of cases 4 game stretch that's going to define the season. That's the stretch for Florida. I'm with you. I think it could be the most difficult 4 game stretch in the country. I'll challenge you. We'll talk about Oklahoma next. I want you to look at their schedule. Their last 7 games are absolutely brutal. But I think for Florida, they're not really talking about the schedule this year. Last year, this time of year, they were. It was incredibly challenging. It's pretty much the same schedule with teams being played at different times on the schedule this year. But I think, you know, winning the last four ball games of the regular season, beating LSU and Ole Miss, the confidence level is really high. So I have not heard much talk about the schedule down in Gainesville the way I did last year. These guys are feeling really confident, but it's all going to come down to the availability of DJ Lagway. I'm starting to worry that he may be a little injury prone. You know, this guy has, you know, talked about being 250 pounds this offseason, and you're seeing a lot of soft tissue injuries from him. Sometimes with those guys that are, you know, quick twitch guys that are strong like that, the soft tissue gets very vulnerable to pulls and strains and things. And I just worry about him not being able to be on the field. I missed a lot of time this offseason between the entire spring with an issue that was described as potentially, you know, they were trying to rest his shoulder because he had some lingering issues in his abdomen, some sort of hernia thing, and then the calf thing that's come up now. You don't get the ability to replace those reps that you miss in spring and the OTAs and the organized things that the quarterbacks do with the receivers. There's a lot of new pass catchers on the roster, and I worry about these guys not having the time together to develop the chemistry you need.
You mentioned like the quarterback battle in Ohio State, whoever that's going to be, but it's amazing how many of these top, call it 15 teams, have new quarterbacks. I mean, I know Manning's not a new quarterback, but he wasn't your every week starter for Texas, Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Bama, Ole Miss, Michigan. I mean, a lot of new quarterbacks for the big name programs in the top 15.
Yeah, it is. And it's not the old situation that we used to have where, you know, you have a guy come in, gets redshirted, sits his freshman and sophomore year, and then plays his junior and senior year. In a lot of cases, you know, these guys are newer to the program. I think you mentioned Bama. It'll be interesting to see kind of what shakes out there, because Kalen DeBoer had talked about Ty Simpson being his guy back at Media Days. But then Ryan Grubb comes out this week and says that they've been, you know, rotating all of those guys through, getting reps with the ones, twos, and the threes, Ty Simpson, Austin Mack, and Keelan Russell. So it sounds to me much more like a quarterback competition there in Tuscaloosa than it was made to seem.
Yeah.
I think they want Ty Simpson to win that job, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, one or both of those other guys get an opportunity in the opener against Florida State. But you're right. It is it makes it a lot more interesting when the Blue Bloods do not have an established quarterback coming back. And I think the playing field is as even this year as it's been in a long time.
Mm. Chris, good to hear from you, man. Good to reconnect. And if you go work for Chris Doran, get ready to do some smelling salts on the job.
How far away are you from Columbia?
I probably got another hour here. I got a little late start this morning. It's kind of rainy and dark, so slept in a little later. But I'm making my way.
All right,
drive man. Safe travels, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, boys.
All right, thank you,
Chris
buddy.
Doring played here in Washington. He is now an ESPN and SEC Network.
I mean, he was right out
analyst.
Of the gate calling us bitches. Right
yeah,
out of the
he
gate.
Was, yeah. You know what? He's probably pretty close to correct. All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next on The Fan.